Welcome to Grills, Guys, and Good Health. I'm Melinda Kinzer with Spirit of Women. This podcast is powered by Spirit of Women and part of a regular monthly health promotion series. To find out more about Spirit of Women, your local exclusive Spirit hospital, and to learn simple ways to take action for your health, visit us at spiritofwomen.com. Summer brings images of barbecues and ball games, fun with our family and friends, swimming, and sunshine. Men, make the most of your summer by enjoying it in good health. Most men are unaware of some of the common diseases that threaten their health today. Heart disease, cancer, stroke, Alzheimer's disease, and type 2 diabetes are some of the leading causes of death and disability among American men today. We'd like you to protect yourself by taking action and control over your health by partnering with your local Spirit of Women Hospital. Today, joining us are three clinical experts in men's health who are going to focus on the areas of cardiovascular health, urology, and orthopedics. I'd like to welcome today to Grills, Guys, and Good Health with Spirit of Women's podcast, Dr. Brian Bauer, our orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Robert Simon, our urologist, and Dr. David Wild, a cardiologist, all with Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey. And Dr. Bauer, would you like to give us a little background on yourself?
Well, I'm an orthopedic surgeon, a board-certified orthopedic surgeon in Teaneck, New Jersey, and I operate in a I operate with a four-man group. Our group probably does 1,200 orthopedic operations a year, and we're just a fairly busy community orthopedic group in the area.
Well, we really appreciate you taking time to join us today. And there's several topics that I want to just touch base on that affect men almost every day, and things that you're the expert at. So many men have that low back pain, and you're hearing a lot of things about disc degeneration. Could we talk a little bit about that and how men can try to stay healthier when it comes to their lower back?
Well, visits to the orthopedic surgeon with low back pain, there's more visits to the orthopedic surgeon for that problem than any other problem in America. As we get older, our backs slowly degenerate, and by staying in good health, keeping our abdominal muscles stronger and our back stronger, we prevent that irritation and that wear in our lower back. And usually that problem gets worse when people start getting pain that runs down the back of their legs into their feet, and they develop this tremendous sciatic nerve irritation. So it is a problem. The first thing we usually try to push people in is just an activity program and a physical therapy setup where they're going to be mindful of what they have to do to make their backs better. In terms of what procedures are out there to help people that aren't benefited by the initial conservative things. There's a whole bunch of stuff out there that is really keeping people going quicker and allowing people to get back to work as soon as they can. The most common things that people are getting into now, and as they avoid physical therapy, are epidural injections and facet injections. That's something that is a very quick, pain-free, minimally invasive procedure where they come into the hospital or to our clinic and they receive an injection right in the area that's causing the problem in their lower back, and that pain is gone away, is taken away, and they're ready to go and return to their activity levels.
That sounds like an amazing thing for a man or anyone that is suffering from that low back pain that can be so annoying. And I want to just kind of go back and talk a little bit more about that. You did mention the tips for keeping a healthy lower back and trying to stay pain-free. What are some of the best tips that you would suggest?
Well, if you can imagine a well physique male with good musculature, you can see that the center of gravity of that a lumbar spine is in a certain spot. As their abdominal muscles stretch out and as they gain, as they put more weight in that lower abdominal area, that center of gravity is pushed away from the center of the spine and more abnormal stresses develop. And as that develops, we're just set up for having facet arthritis, disc degeneration, disc herniation, and all the things that are associated with causing pain that prevent people from going to work and carrying on their normal activities.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about, especially summertime, as heading out to the ball fields and the ball courts and everything, you know, the summertime picnics, getting the torn meniscus, the ACL tears that we hear so much about today, and knee degeneration. What are some of the topics and some of the things that we could be more aware of and try to prevent against that and treat it once something's happened?
Well, the biggest thing is disc degeneration. Usually, the weekend warrior, he may or she may come across a severe injury which would cause an anterior cruciate ligament tear. But most of the time, it's disc degeneration. And disc degeneration usually is usually identified right away with an MRI. An MRI is the way to go to show what's going on. If someone has a torn cartilage, really, physical therapy is not the way to go there. That would really require an arthroscopic procedure that takes 15 to 20 minutes to solve that arthroscopic intraarticular problem. You want to get rid of that offending agent that's not allowing the knee to track properly, because you're going to try to keep the knee strong, avoid arthritis, and limit the amount of degeneration into the knee. That's really the first line of treatment is early detection, prompt treatment, and quick return to function. That's where you really want to go with these knee problems at this age. The only great advance that's helped, that's come on board significantly in the last couple of years in orthopedics with knees, is the partial knee replacement. When people get to the age or to the level where that arthritis is beyond a meniscal area, a meniscal damage, and it's beyond just benefiting from a small arthroscopic procedure, there is a new procedure called partial knee replacement. Even though it's been around for 30 years, it's been refined to the degree where it's a same-day surgery procedure now, and people are very happy with it. So those are the two big areas that arthroscopic or orthopedic surgery has helped that knee degeneration area, arthroscopy and partial knee replacement.
And talking about those weekend warriors with the knee degeneration, throwing the football and lots of other recreational activities going on with those athletes between 40 and 60, you know, they have pain and then the rotator cuff tears that are happening. What are some of the findings and tests that and treatments that are happening this year with rotator cuffs?
Well, rotator cuff disease is another hot topic in our orthopedic armamentarium. Usually, when someone's wondering whether they have rotator cuff disease, if they're have a little bit of difficulty during the course of the day with their activities and they have night pain around 9, 10, 11 o'clock when they're trying to go to sleep and they have that dull ache in their shoulder, everybody knows what that feels like. And as you get restless, you think, okay, I'm going to go see the orthopedic surgeon the next day. You wake up the next day and you're on with your day and you go, well, you get to the next night and say, gee, that pain's back and I'm going to go see that orthopedic surgeon the next day. When that pattern develops, it's time to come in and get your shoulder checked out. Usually, after a good physical exam, an MRI will show whether a rotator cuff is torn. And with our arthroscopic techniques today, arthroscopic surgery for the shoulder is a very good treatment, and that usually solves things pretty quickly. Of course, physical therapy is also helpful for minor things, but with complete rotator cuff tears, arthroscopic reconstruction is the way to go, and it's a very, it's a same-day surgery procedure, and people are very happy with it.
That's exciting to be able to know that, you know, living with that pain doesn't have to be any longer, that you can see your doctor, identify the problem, and get it fixed pretty quickly, it sounds like. That's wonderful. Now, Dr. Bauer, I understand that you recently attended the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons conference. What's new and exciting that's happening in the world of orthopedics this year?
Well, our Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons is really a great organization. This year, approximately 20,000 attendees were at the meeting, and Think of a convention center, oh, maybe three times the floor space at Madison Square Garden, with just exhibits with total hips, total knees, arthroscopic equipment. It really is an exciting floor. But one, and there are a lot of different advances in a lot of different areas, especially with joint replacements. But one thing that was really new this year that is really a hot topic, I know from looking at our OR schedule today, it's a hot topic, is this PCP. PCP is patient centrifuge plasma.
And that sounds complicated. Make that simple for me to understand.
It basically, they're injecting your own blood, the chemicals from your own blood back into you in the area where you have a problem. And the idea is that those chemicals have all these healing properties that are very concentrated and allow you to recover from your problem so much quicker. So basically, if you have an Achilles tendonitis, if you have a bursitis, if you have a tennis elbow, all these different routine orthopedic problems, instead of getting involved with therapy and cortisone injections and all this other stuff, they have perfected the way of taking blood from you, spinning it down, taking these chemicals out, and injecting them back into you. And usually you go to sleep for 2 or 3 minutes while this injection occurs. It's a very quick, pain-free way of solving these wear and tear issues, and it shows a lot of promise. And the reason why I'm sure it's going to be taken off is we have about 30 orthopedists in our hospital. I see a handful of these procedures being done this week. I saw a lot done last week, so I think this is where it's all going.
So this sounds like an answer to... You're saying a lot of these chronic problems that before treatment was just extended, and now they've identified this as something, and is it an instantaneous healing process for the patient?
Well, it usually takes a week to two to have complete resolution of those symptoms and those people that are successful. But the issue is you're avoiding when people are working, they have a very hard time in taking off to go to physical therapy, especially for 4 to 6 weeks for a given area. Mm-hmm. And that time donation on someone's part, it's costly, it's inconvenient. And for many people that are single family earners or single earners in the family, that's difficult to do. And in this day and age, especially with the recession, with people losing their jobs, people want to be functional, they want to get relief, and they want to stay at their employable activities as best as possible. Everybody, our economic situation today is affecting everybody, and I think that's also what's driving this very aggressive, prompt return to their activities.
Well, Dr. Bauer, you have shared so much information with us today. Any last tips that you'd like to offer our listeners today about orthopedic degeneration and recommendations for prevention of those types of problems? We've talked a little bit about it. Let's just give them some last tip reminders and some everyday things that they can do to help themselves.
Well, I think orthopedic care is really just the best orthopedic care is really just taking care of yourself. You want to keep your weight down. You want to be active. The simplest thing people can do in their middle ages is walk. Walking activities are going to decrease depression, are going to keep you going, they're going to decrease the fat index, they're going to keep your abdominal muscles tight. Just the easiest things you can do are usually the best things. So I think that if someone can concentrate on their eating habits, their activity level, their exercise, I think that's great. They don't all have to join the most expensive gym and make this time donation every day or every other day. If people get out and walk, that's all you have to do, and you'll be feeling a whole lot better, and your body will produce results for you.
Thank you again so much, Dr. Bauer, for taking the time to join us this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much. That was a lot of fun talking to you.
Dr. Wild, let's talk a little bit about men's health and some of the traditional risk factors for coronary heart disease.
Sure. The traditional risk factors for heart disease are advanced age, male gender. Men are at greater risk than women. Diabetes, high blood pressure, smoking, high cholesterol, and a family history of coronary disease in the and close relatives, either siblings or parents.
Okay. And so we just hear so many different things now. And what are some of the typical symptoms of a heart attack? How do we tell the differences between something indigestion, or is it something that our husbands and fathers and sons should be worried about?
Sure. Well, typical symptoms of a heart attack are classically described as a severe prolonged chest pain in the center of your chest, often described as an intense pressure, and this pain may radiate to the neck, jaw, or even the left arm, and often it's accompanied by trouble breathing or nausea, vomiting, or sweating. It's often difficult to tell a difference from indigestion, which can present similarly, but indigestion is more commonly described as a burning sensation, sometimes rising in the chest towards the neck, and may also be associated with a bitter taste in the mouth, belching. And this discomfort is also worse often at night or related to meals when acid production is really at its peak. But it's important to note that really the only way to truly differentiate these things from one another are an electrocardiogram and a blood test.
Okay. So if there's ever any question, what would you suggest, Dr. Wild? What should we do?
I think if there's ever a question and you're seriously concerned about it, then you really should go to the local emergency room to get an electrocardiogram and for a blood test. I think if it feels more like indigestion with the burning rising in your chest related to a meal, I think it is reasonable to try initially an antacid such as Maalox or Mylanta first.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the measures that we can take to reduce the risk of heart attack?
Preventing heart attacks is really aimed at reducing your risk factors. So living a healthy life, including never smoking or quitting smoking, eating a healthy diet, exercising regularly, and really following up with your medical doctor to screen for high blood pressure and high cholesterol.
Okay, so it sounds like doing just some healthy things. And we talked about some of those things that you can kind of be aware of. What is the importance of your cholesterol level?
Cholesterol level is very important. It's one of the major risk factors for heart disease. And the higher your cholesterol is, the more likely you are to develop plaque buildup in your arteries, which can cause heart attacks.
Okay. And are there any other diagnostic tests and things that we should be aware of?
There's really no other diagnostic test except for something called the calcium scan, which can actually detect calcium and cholesterol buildup in your arteries. This isn't recommended for everybody, but it is recommended in some people that are at intermediate risk for developing blocked arteries.
Okay. And keeping healthy and doing things and working in exercise, how much is enough exercise, and when is it time to know to stop?
Well, exercise, the recommendation for exercise now is adults should be exercising about 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and that includes moderate exercise, such as a brisk walk, jogging, anything really to get your heart rate up a little bit. And really, the idea is really don't push yourself, because if you push yourself too much, and you're really not going to stick with it, and it's not going to last. So it's really just something to keep your heart rate up a little bit and your exercise level to be moderate.
Dr. Wild, we really appreciate the information. If there's a couple of primary takeaway thoughts that you would want men to know and to be aware of for their cardiovascular health, what would those be?
Number one, I'd say stay active, exercise regularly. Stay active, exercise regularly, watch your diet, try to eat a lot of fish, at least 2 or 3 servings a week, eat a lot of fibers, eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. Most of us don't eat enough. Watch your cholesterol intake, avoid a lot of those sugar drinks. That's unnecessary sugar and really doesn't fill you up. And so I had to say, in terms of what kind of foods to eat, try to eat lean meats and take the skin off. Try to stick with olive oil, canola oil, generally things that are pretty healthy in terms of diet.
It sounds like a pretty simple thing to do. Let's just talk one last time before we wrap up talking about cardiovascular health. Again, those signs or symptoms that we need to be very aware of and how soon to take action when it's happening for our men.
So really, if you're developing a severe, intense pressure in the center of your chest, lasting for, at least a few minutes, and it's concerning you, then you really need to take action immediately, because really when it comes to having a heart attack, time is muscle, and the earlier you deal with it, the better off you're going to be.
Thank you very much. Dr. Wild, a cardiologist with Holy Name in Teaneck, New Jersey. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today on Grills, Guys, and Good Health from our Spirit of Women podcast.
Thank you very much. It was nice to be here.
And I'd like to thank Dr. Robert Simon, a urologist, for joining us today. And with men's health, there's so many things that are in the news these days. Isn't erectile dysfunction just part of normal aging? When does this start happening for men?
Well, the truth is erectile dysfunction really is not normal no matter what age you're at. It's true that as men get older, that their risk factors increase and the risk of getting erectile dysfunction is significantly higher, but there's really no normal age that erections should stop happening.
And so we're hearing a lot more about it, and I think that has to do with some of what we're seeing on television. At what age does erectile dysfunction start, and how common is it actually?
Well, you know, it's quite common, and in fact, it's not only older men that get erectile dysfunction. The truth is that many younger men in their 20s, 30s, and 40s also experience erectile dysfunction. As high as 40% of 40-year-olds can have erectile dysfunction, and that increases as high as 60% of 60-year-olds, 70% of 70-year-olds. The causes of those erectile dysfunction may be different depending on the age group, but the younger men do experience some degree of erectile dysfunction due to different medical issues.
Dr. Simon, what are some of the causes of ED?
Well, especially in the younger group, it tends to be skewed more to psychological issues. And as you get older, it can be more organic issues. Those organic issues tend to be things to deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol. Sometimes neurologic diseases can cause erectile dysfunction, specifically also surgical procedures can lead to have complications of erectile dysfunction, most commonly with prostate surgery, as well as sometimes trauma or even radiation for different types of pelvic diseases.
So you brought up the prostate diseases. How can a man keep healthy prostate? And what are some of the things that they need to be aware of?
Okay. The prostate is essentially it's an organ in the pelvis. It's a donut at the exit of the bladder that a man urinates through. And essentially two things happen to the prostate as a man gets older. One is it can get enlarged, causing constraint on that urine tube called the urethra, which causes back pressure, difficult voiding, incomplete emptying of their bladder, waking up at night, things like that. And the other thing that happens to the prostate is the prostate can develop cancer. Cancer screening generally starts at the age of 45, which includes a yearly blood test, which is a PSA, and then a visit to your physician where a digital exam is performed of the prostate once a year.
And so there's some things to do to be proactive and stay healthy, and some things to watch for. If a man is thinking there might be some erectile dysfunction, how is it actually diagnosed, and how can you help them? How is it treated?
Okay. Well, if a man is having any sort of difficulty with erections, whether it is that they're unable to achieve an erection at all, or whether they're able to achieve some erection, but it's not enough to actually perform intercourse, or if there's any sort of interruption in their sexual activity because of this, that puts that man in the category of having some degree of erectile dysfunction. Now, based on what the cause of the erectile dysfunction is or how severe the erectile dysfunction is, there are different treatments. The most common of these treatments are oral medication, which get a lot of
Publicity, which is mostly the Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis, the pills that you can take. And if the, and those have been extremely successful. However, some men do not respond well to these, or if they did respond well, sometimes the response can be muted or disappear completely after a long term of use, as their cause of erection or erectile dysfunction it continues to worsen. And there are several other treatments that go down the algorithm.
And that's what we would need to talk to our doctor about.
That's
Dr.
correct.
Simon, can you tell us, what is the primary takeaway message that you would want men to hear today?
I think that the most important thing is that sexual health is an extraordinarily important aspect of a man's life, and that just having a having some degree of erectile dysfunction should not be written off as a normal process of aging, and that there is something that can be done. And even the men that do try these oral medicines and are unsuccessful with them, there are several other options, and that an erection can always be obtained at some point, and with close interaction with your physician, that each man can have some plan that can map out success in the future.
Thank you very much. It's information that every man and woman really need to be aware of today for men's health. I'd like to thank you, Dr. Simon, for joining us today, along with Dr. David Wild, our cardiologist, and also Dr. Brian Bauer. Thank you very, very much for taking time out of your day to join us. This podcast is powered by Spirit of Women and part of a regular monthly health promotion series. To find out more about Spirit of Women, your local exclusive spirit hospital, and simple ways to take action for your health, visit us at spiritofwomen.com.